of the one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, a woman's husband died, and he had $20,000 to his name. After paying all of the funeral expenses, she told her closest friend that there was no money left. Friend said, "How can that be? You had 20 grand when he died. How could you be so broke?" "Well," the widow replied, "the funeral cost me $6,500, and then there was about $1,000 to the church for the organist and the priest, another $500 for the wake, the food, the drinks, you know, the rest went for the memorial stone." Friend asked, $12,500 for a memorial stone? How big was it?" The widow replied, "About 3 carats. Some of you are just getting that now. That's apropos of nothing except that it deals with the end, and we come to the end of another church year. Feast of Christ the King, we begin a new year next Sunday with the first Sunday in Advent. Now, you know that when faced with a monumental task, oftentimes we feel completely overwhelmed. How can we possibly get all of this done? We might be thinking, for instance, of getting the house ready for the holidays and all of that means. Cleaning the windows, the curtains, the floors, not to mention finding the decorations, untangling electric cords, and unpacking ornaments. It might be the fall cleanup that we haven't quite gotten to yet, the leaves, the garage, the plants to be dug out, and the bushes to be trimmed. We look at something so big, and we feel overwhelmed, and we wonder, how can we possibly get all of this done? And usually, as I tell my kids, we get it done by putting one foot in front of the other, doing one thing at a time until the job is done. So today, as we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, we wrap up the mystery of salvation and we offer it to Christ the King, who delivers the kingdom to his Father after destroying every rule and authority and power. And as has been the case with the gospel readings for the last 4 weeks or so, since All Saints, we have a picture of judgment, and in this case, the last judgment, when Christ comes again in glory with all the holy angels to sit on his glorious throne. And we are given very clear, very unambiguous language, all that we will have to answer for on the last day: feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger, visiting the prisoner. And it seems like a monumental task. How will we ever get it done? How will we ever measure up? Well, we do it one step at a time, one moment at a time, one foot in front of the other until the job is done. And instead of responding with discouragement about these words from Jesus, let's look at this gospel again a little bit more closely, because there's more here than meets the eye. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and there is more than one meaning to our Lord's words. Jesus talks about the least ones in this gospel. Well, who are the least ones to us? Who are the ones that we take the most for granted? Who are the ones that we don't worry about very much? Isn't it true that the least ones are often the people in our own friends and family, the people in our daily life and work? We just presume that everything is okay with them. But in truth, we don't have to look very far to find any least ones. Jesus says, feed the hungry. Well, what about those around us who hunger for love and affection? Do we make an effort, and it sometimes is an effort, to show our love? Is there anyone who is in doubt about how we feel about them? We're to give drink to the thirsty. Well, what about those around us who are thirsting for forgiveness and understanding? We're to clothe the naked. What about the person in our family who feels shame or embarrassment? How do we respond to that person? We're to visit the prisoner. What about those that are caught in the prison of doubt or insecurity, who are trapped in a rut and can't get themselves out? Do we open doors of encouragement and understanding? And then we hear about the stranger, the one who is close to us and yet unfamiliar. Perhaps it's a person we don't understand. Maybe we thought we knew them once, and now it's like living with a stranger, a child, a spouse, perhaps an aging parent dealing with disability. The person is not the same. They are estranged to us. And how are we dealing with that? By encouragement, in interaction, or by avoidance? So in this gospel, Jesus is inviting us to see the monumental task of our salvation one situation at a time, one person at a time, until the job is done. And if Jesus is indeed the King, and he is, then we obey his command by bringing his most gracious rule into the hearts and lives of those least ones around us. I suppose this gospel is put at the end of the year, because the end of the year is a time for us to reflect and to evaluate. The church is asking us to consider what the gospel means in our life. We're asked about our worldview. Do we view others as though they were loved by Christ? Do we view them as others in whom Christ is present? Or are we so wrapped up in ourselves that we rarely integrate the living of the Christian life with our profession of faith? Do we just talk the talk, or are we walking the walk as well? Christ is our King. May we be true members of his kingdom.